This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Joe Bevilacqua and New Chapel in Grand Rapids, Michigan. For more information, please visit newchapel.com.
My name is Joe. I'm the lead pastor here at New Chapel. Isaiah chapter 6. We're in a new series called Here Am I, Send Me. My son is in this really fun phase of life. He just turned 10 months old. And Aurelio, my son, he is into everything. In fact, guys, I think we have a picture of Dad and Aurelio. Yeah, kind of more of a picture of Dad and his boy, but that's my son right now. And he wouldn't even look at the camera because he is enamored with whatever is in his hand at that moment. He is all over the place. I mean, he wants to put everything in his mouth. He wants to taste it. He wants to throw it to see if it bounces or not. I mean, Aurelio is positively, without a doubt, all over the place. And it's kind of a fun stage, but at the same time, it's like, Aurelio, you are going to hit your head. And you can try to plead with him. Listen, son, come on. No, don't hang off the couch. Don't do that. You're going to fall on your head. Son, come on. Son, no, don't do it. Come on, dummy. You're going to fall. He hits his head. And for a moment, like, what just happened? And then, of course, the tears come. Well, what's happened now is when he falls off the couch, he actually hits with his hands. Why? Because he's learning by experience. He's learning to kind of curb those different things. We're not having to coach him into every single step. We'll say no, and he actually responds. By the way, that starts in the cradle, guys, and I'm coming out with my new book on parenting soon with all 10 months of parenting. But honestly, this kid is awesome, and he's learning by experience. He's learning by the things that he's going through. And there comes a certain point where you can try to warn them or tell them not to do something, but when they do it, that's the best teacher. All the enticing in the world. Hey, you want to try this? Taste this. Taste this. It's a new thing. It's called chocolate. That don't work until they taste the chocolate. Then all of a sudden it's like, he wants more. That's what he says when he wants more. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody got kids in this place? They learn through experience. And Aurelio has learned through experience. It's kind of like that with your friend that just came back from vacation. And they're so excited. And they posted 178 pictures on Facebook, Instagram, their Twitter account. And when you see them, they want to roll through that thing with their thumb. And they want to take you through every step. And that's when we went to the pier. You see that? They've got this big, big smile. And you kind of, you know, you're kind of like, yes, I'm with you on this. And finally, they'll get to the end and they'll see that you're not as excited as them. And they'll say something like this. Maybe you've heard it. I guess you'd had to been there. Anybody ever heard that? Maybe you've said that before. I guess you'd had to been there. Maybe it's that teenager that came back from Cedar Point and they experienced huge things at Cedar Point. They're so excited about it. They're trying to tell you about this roller coaster. And to them, they're still on that stupid roller coaster and they're smiling about it. And you're just not there. And it's, I guess you'd had to been there. You know what I'm talking about? Or maybe that foodie friend, which Grand Rapids is like foodie city USA. We have so many cool restaurants with Electric Cheetah downtown and all these cool different places. And you can go to Windsor or Roaster, and that's just wealthy street. I mean, there's so much out there. And they go to this restaurant, they're trying to explain to you the sandwich, and they're like crying, conveying how good it was. And you're just like, okay, it's a sandwich. You know, I went to Subway today, you know, and they're kind of, I guess you'd had to have been there. You don't talk about anybody where people say that? Kai and I had a very similar experience. Kai has humored me through much of my adult life. In January of 2011, we went to Universal Studios. And man, we were having a good old time. We're going through Universal Studios and we're seeing everything. And I see the DeLorean from Back to the Future. I am blown away. I'm looking at it. And they ended up letting us in the DeLorean. The original, the one Marty was in, okay? And I'm sitting in this thing, and I'm, Kaya, take pictures, just tons of pictures. And I had an iPhone 3 at the time, so they're kind of a little bit fuzzy, but we were taking pictures, and I'm, like, holding my watch up like Doc, and then I'm just, my heart's beating. Doc, the DeLorean, the time train's right down there, and I'm freaking out at all of this, and guess you'd have been there. everybody's just like, yeah, that's good, Pastor Joe. But have you had an experience like that? Have you had a moment in your life where everything changed? For me, everything changed in a moment when my son was born. we're Amish or whatever, so we had our kid at home, and so we had a home birth, and it was awesome, and kumbaya, we'll hand out the granola and everything after service, but if you know me, you know I'm the least person to ever do that, but it was awesome, it was really cool, it was life-changing. I'm here to tell you, when your kid goes out, and I don't know why, but his neck worked immediately, and he looked up, and I'm looking at this little, you know, worm that, and he's got eyes, and he looks like me. And it was like, he's like beautiful. And he looks like a lizard, you know, and he's blue and all of these wonderful, and your emotions are just going off like fireworks. And you're just like, how do we make people? We can make people, you know, and it was life changing. An experience like that changes everything. One of the greatest treasures of the Dead Sea Scrolls was actually they found a full copy of the book of Isaiah. If you have your Bibles, Isaiah chapter 6, they found a full copy. Jesus loved this book. In fact, people have pined and wonder whether or not this was his favorite book in the Bible. Over and over again, the writers of the New Testament will quote Isaiah to really try to convey what he's all about. And in this chapter, Isaiah chapter 6, he has a dramatic experience that changed everything. Isaiah chapter 6, heaven and earth have a collision in verse 1. I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Stop for a second. A train would be something like what a king would wear, and it would have a long, long train, but it says that it fills the temple. We most likely believe, theologians believe, that it was light, and it actually filled the whole room. When he walked in, the whole place lit up visibly. Verse 3, and an angel said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." Hosts there would be like a military term in the time. This is the God who fights our battles for us. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the whole house was filled with smoke. We believe that he was in the temple at this time, and the imagery of the temple began to come alive. Verse 8, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And whom will go for us?" Then I said, Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." And God said, "Go and tell these people." A very ordinary person, Isaiah. I mean, he was a normal guy. He was not a prophet, a priest, an evangelist. He wasn't a pastor. He had no ministry lineage, no ministry experience. Normal guy, just like you, just like me. He goes into the temple and he has this dramatic encounter, experience, moment with God. And the experience, I mean, it literally says in that chapter, if you read through there, Isaiah says, "I'm undone. I mean, I'm tore back, y'all. I mean, if we want to say it country, I'm messed up. What's going on? I'm seeing Jesus, the pre-incarnate Christ, come into the temple. The whole place is filled with light. I'm seeing angels fly about, and God, this Trinity, is having a conversation." This is a great point to the Trinity. It says, "Who will go for us?" God's having a conversation within himself. Did you know that Isaiah is the only prophet in all of the Bible that has no formal call into ministry? He just went into the temple and he prayed and he overheard God, and he was so moved from an encounter, from an experience in his life, that he just responded. His call to ministry was his call to ministry. He said it. "Here am I, Lord, send me." Like, I'm in, I'll do it. That's what happened in the life of Isaiah. Have you ever had an experience like that? Maybe a natural experience, maybe a spiritual experience that just kind of unravels stuff. Like he said, "I'm undone. This is completely different than what I've known in the past." Isaiah did. He starts then to recite all of his shortcomings. In verse 5, he says, "I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Unless you think that's so different or that you would have a different response, over and over again in the Bible, normal people have that response when they face God. Jeremiah, when he was asked to do great things for God, he'd be pleaded with God, I'm way too young. You don't know. You don't know," as if, "I'm way too young. You don't want me." Or I think about Moses, and we all know Moses, and He pleaded with God that he couldn't speak, that he couldn't say the words that God would give him. Or think about Mary who said, God, I've never been with a man. It so often happens when we get into the presence and power of God that what happens is we become undone, we recite all the things that we can't do, but God doesn't focus on the negative part of our life. God does not focus on the things that we can't do. I've said it again and again and again at New Chapel. God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. And he calls Isaiah in this moment. An angel comes, gives Isaiah a special touch from heaven, and Isaiah is then moved to action. He says, God is saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah pipes up, here am I, Lord, send me. And I believe that a real encounter and interaction with God will stir you to a spot where I got to do something. I don't know what I got to do, but I just got to do something. I got to move. I got to move forward with my life. I got to move forward with action. Last week was so cool. It's something that I had prayed for years of my life. Years went behind it. We prayed for people to receive healing by faith. We called people forward and we lay hands on people, and it was awesome. And we laid hands, we obeyed the scripture, and I believe a process was started. In fact, by the way, if you have any testimonies, we have one testimony of a girl who was believing God to be healed, and she had hands laid on her. And when she went back to her doctor said, hey, we no longer need to see you at this point. We're completely satisfied. Everything's done. So we've already had testimonies. We're waiting for some more, so bring them on. But yeah, that's awesome. And listen, it was cool. People came down for healing, but you know what happened? Oh, it was awesome. The thing that Kaya and I saw more than anything else was people encounter God. Oh, that was the most powerful thing that happened. It was great. We had worship music playing, or we're praying over people, and people got their hands up, and there was tears and snot in Jesus. It was awesome. It was like, woo, this is great. Let's do this every week. You know what I mean? But you know, we can't. Just logistically, we couldn't do that every single week. And in fact, as your pastor, I got to tell you, we don't need to do that every single week. We need to learn how to do that in our daily life. I'm not talking about, you know, crying so hard while you're driving that you can't get down the road, you know, and I've had those moments too. And in fact, the morning that we prayed last Sunday, I had a moment where I just had to pull off the road in the East Beltline. Thank God I didn't get pulled over. But, you know, I was so moved by God. And you can live that way. You can live so close to Jesus, so in the presence of God, so in his peace, that you're just encountering him regularly. In fact, I would argue with you that that is what is called Christianity, is a relationship with God. Church, we need to encounter God. Couple points based upon this encounter with Isaiah, based upon what happened with us at the altar. Write it down. We need power, not just words. We need power, not just words. And let me say, I'm all about the Word of God. I'm not really talking about the Word of God here. I'm talking about the sermonizing, the talking about things, the mulling over things, the, oh, somebody pray for me. And we go through all the words behind things, but we're not really getting the power. We're not really getting the action down. And there's some things that words just come up short on. They fall empty. My father-in-law, he is so cool. He goes to the Philippines regularly. And when he goes to the Philippines, what they do is they'll have like a crusade or a big meeting in the evening. They'll invite the whole city to come to this event, and they play loud music, and man, they don't really have a lot of electronic things, and when you're blasting music over a PA system, like, they're gonna come, you know what I mean? But they figured out a system of what works best. So what they do is they set everything up in the morning, and then in the late morning and throughout the whole afternoon, they go door to door, and they don't go and try to convince them of anything, that their God is better, that any of those other kind of things. They go door to door, and they say, do you need prayer for anything? We're praying for people, especially who have physical issues, who need healing. And they bring the people out. And Pastor Eric has conveyed one by one, this is my father-in-law, so this isn't, you know, really like fifth-hand information, that when they pray for arthritis, the hands pop. He says it's kind of scary when you hear it. They'll pray for it, you know, it kind of straightens out, or a knee will pop back into, or a hip will go back in. And they went to one lady's house, and she was blind, and she couldn't hear. And they prayed for her, and for the first time in, I think, 3 or 4 decades, she could see and hear by the time they left. You know what she said before he left? They can come back anytime. is what they said. So they go door to door and they pray for people and God shows up really, really cool. And then in the evening, they have the service and a lot of it's worship. And they go up there and they have a very short sermon. And then they do an altar call and they say the whole village is going to get saved. And I said, why would you not explain to them and really go through the different arguments and try to convey, I mean, this is why our God is true. He said, Joe, when you get them to encounter God, words, you don't really need to do much preaching. You know what I mean? Like when God shows up, there's not really much more to say. Give them an opportunity for sure. The Apostle Paul was like this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He said, I came to you in weakness and fear with much trembling. My message and my preaching was not with wise and persuasive words. Everybody look at me for a second. If there was a dude who could have given you the most wise and persuasive argument ever, it was the Apostle Paul. This guy was one of the most learned and educated men ever. I mean, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees, educated to the T, but didn't come with his wisdom. He didn't come with his persuasive words. Some of you guys came from a church that it was all about the apologetic, but you never got this next part. And this was really Paul's heart, because this is what he experienced. I didn't come with you with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, on the next series from New Chapel, but on God's power. Amen, somebody? Next thing, jot it down. We need an encounter, not just an explanation. We need an encounter. You've been sermonized most of your life. You need an encounter. You need to be with Jesus. When I saw God move in my life at 17, no one needed to explain it to me like I got it in a moment. Like, I understand, Lord. I get what you did in my heart. No one needed to go through all of the argument with me, all the things that I needed to learn. Explanations don't change somebody's life. Do you know that? I've never, like, oh, this was so life-changing. And I'm not diminishing hearing good messages, because this church has a great preacher, handsome too, my God. So I'm not diminishing that at all. That's not my point. Like, some of the breakthrough I've gotten in my life has been because I've renewed my mind. Very, very important. But I believe it's the encounters that gave me breakthrough. The encounters that changed everything with my life and my journey with Jesus. Wow. And that's really what we need. John chapter 9 and verse 17, there was a blind man who got healed by Jesus, and the Pharisees are beating him up about it. And finally, they turned again to the blind man in John chapter 9. What have you to say about him? In other words, hey, explain this thing. And he replied, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. They were calling Jesus Christ a sinner. But one thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. See, you want an explanation. You want all the documentation. You want all of that. Can I tell you something? It's there, y'all. I mean, I am that guy. I struggle because every week my first point is I want to prove to you the existence of God and then move to point number two. I'm so pragmatic with the way that I think. I get it. I am that guy. But it's not that that's changed me. It's the experiences that I've had with God. And people are going to ask you, tell me about that church that you're going to. Tell me all about it. Explain this to me. And you're going to say what I said when I first encountered a real life-changing God, and that is, I don't know, but my life was messed up, and now it's not. And I'm not perfect, but I'm on a journey, and that's good enough for me. God is doing a work in my life. Amen, somebody? Next thing, write it down. We need presence, not just practice. We need presence. You need the presence of God in your life. And I get it. You know, we're free here at New Chapel, right? We're free. You guys are free. Yeah, we are free. And no, we don't have a high mass. And no, we don't have a formal liturgy. But we do have a flow. And I know that we get to the spot where you turn over to somebody, he's going to welcome the first-time visitors. That's what he's going to do. You know, you turn back. You know, and you know when the song really gets cranking and Pastor Joe feels the Spirit and he hollers, he always does that. You know, you learn the flow, and you know every head bow and every eye close. I mean, you know all of my tricks. And it's because, no, we don't have a formal liturgy, but we do have a flow. We do have a thing that we go through every single week. And what happens is so many people get caught up into the flow of things, and you go through the motions. And I see this is too bad, because people will come to church, and they do a little worship, do a little message, take their little note sheet home, amen, and they check it off the list. And if you're around God for long enough, you will go through a season of that. And what needs to happen is just a fresh wind, a fresh breath of fresh air has to go through your life. Because if you go through the motions, and I'm doing church because it's the right thing to do, which, by the way, everybody look at me. If you're coming here because it's the right thing to do, you got to go. Just got to go. You need to come here because you are excited about Jesus. You're excited about what he's doing in your life. Don't check, did church. I'm a good doobie. I'm good. I'm going to heaven. All is well. Listen, don't boil Christianity down to that. Be excited about God. Come here expecting a word from God to your heart every single week. And when that happens, that's where you're going to find your breath of fresh air. Don't go through the motions. Romans chapter 8 in the Message. It stands to reason, doesn't it? That if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, he'll do the same thing that he did in Jesus, bringing you alive to himself. When God lives and, everybody say that word with me, breathes in you, and he does, as he surely did in Jesus, you're delivered from that dead life. With the Spirit living in you, your body will be as alive as Christ's. Guys, that breath of fresh air is what you need. Don't go through the I'm going into fall. We got to get the kids back up. Listen, I get it. There are practical things to it, but you need presence in this thing, not just practice. You need to do it because, man, I need that breath of fresh air every single day, not just on Sunday. I need it in my life. I need it to go. And can I just tell you, when you do that, you'll experience the same thing that Jesus did. You know what it is? Resurrection. He'll resurrect your marriage. He'll resurrect your heart. He'll resurrect your career. He'll resurrect your life. He wants to perfect those things which concern you, but it's found in him. And guys, it's the moments where I've connected with God that have changed everything in my heart. I'll never forget when I was just a young boy, 17 years old, I went to a youth camp, and it was awesome. I mean, Pastor Tommy Pinkerton was there. Oh, what a man of God. And he preached something crazy. I'm telling you, the wallpaper was coming off the walls. He preaches so hard, you'll be in the corner sucking your thumb. I mean, this guy was awesome, and it was amazing. He gets to the altar call, and we're all down. Nobody was sitting down. Everybody was down. We pushed the chairs back to make our altar bigger, you know? And so we're all down there. We're just praying, and kind of like last week, I mean, the snot and the tissues, and it was hot, you know? It was just really hot. I've never really been at a cold altar call, and so we're down there, and he's praying for people for all kinds of things, for direction and calling and purpose and healing. And he gets to me, and he spoke words over me that were life-giving. For a kid that came from a mixed home, had issues, he spoke encouragement to me that I'd never had before. I encountered God. He laid his hands on me, and we prayed. And he even said something that was very significant. He said, "One day, son, I say by the Spirit of God, you and I will do ministry shoulder to shoulder." Now, 6 years later, I was youth pastoring in Troy, and I had him come in to do my youth camp. And he preached and called me up on stage, and before everyone, spoke a word over me, and for just a moment, touched his shoulder to mine, just to fulfill every word of what was said. Today, you could even say it's being fulfilled, because Pastor Tommy Pinkerton is one of the 5 board members at New Chapel. He has a church down in Georgia, Buford, Georgia, that's going to be starting this January. What a wonderful man of God. That encounter with God changed everything for me. I'll never forget when I was at Bible school. I was in college, and I'm going through, and they had this night of worship at the college ministry. And I went there. I had really been dealing with something, because Kaya's mom had breast cancer, and I was really discouraged. And fear began to rise up in my heart that Kaya would get it, that somehow it was hereditary, that Kaya was going to die of cancer. And it made me actually go wishy-washy. Should I stay with her? Should I not stay with her? All of these emotions began to bubble up in my heart. And I began to pray and worship during this night of prayer and worship. And I took down a journal and I started writing down just things that God was saying to me. And he gave me a scripture when I asked him. I said, Lord, what about Kaya? And he said, with long life, I'll satisfy you and show you my salvation. And for a moment, it was like somebody took a photo album and flipped through it real quick, and I saw glimpses of my life growing to be an old man, a really good-looking old man, with my wife. Oh, just a moment in the presence of God. That fear is completely gone. I don't have fear. I can't lie to you and say that there's even a small fear that she'd ever get sick. It's just not in my heart. I don't fear for that. I remember when I was considering planting the church, there was a lot of turmoil in my life. Things were being changed up. I didn't know exactly how to do this. You know, I planted New Chapel when I was 26 years old. That's very exceptionally young. And I went to a church called Zion in Troy, and they were just like, man, we just feel like we have a word for you. And they called Kai up. I was like, there ain't no way she's going up without me. I'm going to go judge that word. You know what I'm talking about? I'm the man of this house. I wear the pants in this thing. Glory to God. So I went right up with them, and the words that they spoke were stuff that we were going through and stuff that we would go through. We actually have the recording of that night. Some of the things that they spoke over our lives have happened to the T and are happening today. I encountered Jesus in that moment. I encountered God, and that encounter changed everything for me. So I get it. Right now, you're all looking, you're like, yeah, this is great. And I think preachers do this. They inspire you to the spot, and then you go, okay, how? What do you want me to do? Like, what's my next step? I need an encounter with God. Is there an easy button? Because that'd be awesome. I understand. Preachers are so good at inspiring you, but they don't necessarily tell you the how. The Apostle Paul was the same way. In Acts chapter 9, he got knocked on his can by Jesus. And in Acts 9, verse 6, he says, Lord, what do you want me to do? And Isaiah, we just read it. Here am I, Lord, send me. Well, what do you want me to do? So here's the deal. I'm going to give you what you need to do. For the next 21 days, our church is going to begin 21 days of prayer and feasting. Okay? Now you're like, wait a second. I thought it was prayer and fasting. It is. That's January. And we do prayer and fasting. And that's going to be awesome. And I'm also not saying by this that you need to gorge or feast or gain a whole bunch of weight in August. Like, there's nothing spiritual about that. So don't try to curb that to your wife and say that's why we're having s'mores every night. That's not godly. But I'm calling for 21 days of prayer and feasting. And what I'd like you to do is to seek God like you never have before. Why 21 days? It takes 21 days to create a habit. And what I want to do is pastor you through this process where you get closer to Jesus. Anybody else notice that during the summer, we just have a tendency to drift? You know, even those of you guys that you've been here every Sunday, you're loving Jesus, you're growing, you're all, but there's just a drift to summer. I mean, my gosh, Aurelio's bedtime is 8 o'clock if you ask his mom. It's 4 o'clock if you ask dad. But during the summer, Aurelio's going to bed at 10 p.m. at night. It's like, what's going on? And we're just like, hey, stay up, kid. We're going to have a ride. It's like, how did we get here? We were so disciplined with so many things, and summer just makes you drift. And I think it's the same way spiritually. We need to rein this thing back in. We need to encounter Jesus fresh, and we need to approach fall with fresh eyes, fresh mind, fresh heart. We're in this thing for Jesus. Amen, somebody? So what are we going to do? The first thing is this. We've prepared a devotional. So ushers, if you could come forward and help pass out this devotional. We wrote a really excellent piece for you. And what this does is day for day for the next 21 days, we have a devotional, and it is really cool. It has a devotional on one side. On the other side, it has space for you to write. And if the Lord speaks to your heart, or if you're praying, or if God just brings up something to your memory, I got to remember to do that, or talk to that person, or whatever it's going to be, this devotional is for you. You need to use this. This is going to be a great tool for you. And oh, by the way, this is the book of the month. So people ask every single month, what book are you doing? We just did Christ the Healer, and we did an awesome one before that. What book are we doing? This is your book of the month. So I don't know how you do this. Fold it, put it in your pocket during work, whether you need to have it next to your nightstand, whether this needs to be next to just that certain chair that you sit in the living room, wherever it needs to be, take this devotional and work through it with us, okay? So the first component is this devotional. The second thing I want to mention is we're doing church-wide prayer. Now, this is the third year that we've done 21 days of prayer and feasting. We've done it every which way. The first year, we did it every single morning at 7 a.m., and the pastoral staff showed up, okay? And Patrick. Now, we ate donuts, but it was really hard to wake up so early and go jump in and pray. I'm here to tell you, when you get in that prayer circle and somebody hasn't brushed their teeth, that ain't Jesus, that's the devil, okay? That is the devil, okay? So then the next year, what we did is we did it in the evenings because I thought, man, we can curb bad breath, have donuts. Maybe the breath will smell like a Denmark instead of smelling like someone's foot in Denmark, okay? So we had it in the evenings, and it was cool. A couple people showed up. It was awesome. What I feel like we're going to do this year, because I want every person in the sound of my voice to participate, is I want you to come, and we're going to do it before church. Okay, we set up from 9 to 9:45, okay? So if you're a volunteer already, you're going to be here at 9 o'clock setting everything up. So what we're going to do is at 8:15 next Sunday, the Sunday after that, and the Sunday after that, that would be the 14th, 21st, and the 28th. We're going to open the doors at 8:15. It's going to look just like this in here. Pastor Kobe and the band, they're going to set everything up so it basically looks like church in here. And we're going to come in and we're going to pray. Okay, it's going to be awesome. From 8:30 to 9 o'clock, we're going to pray. 8:15 is when doors open. We're going to pray for half an hour. Most of it's going to be led by me, and then what we're going to do is just let you pray. Let you walk around, let you sit down, whatever you have to do. When I pray, I have to pace. Otherwise, I can't think right. You know what I mean? Got to stay focused. So I pace all over the place when I pray. That's how I pray. And the only rule to this is no space invaders. You know what I'm talking about? That person that wants to get in your space and give you a personal prophecy? Well, you're, no, none of that's going to happen. No space invaders. That's the only rule to prayer. But from 8:30 to 9, you're welcome to pray. And then if you want to stay and set up, that's awesome. If you don't want to, Red Hots serves breakfast. And you can have some breakfast before you come to church. I would encourage you to come. Church-wide prayer. Be sure to be there. And then also, it's on the back of the book. It's in the book. It's all over the place. It's on Facebook right now. It's prayerandfeasting.com. Oh, you know I was excited when I got that domain name, okay? Prayerandfeasting.com has everything that you need. We have a Bible study plan on there that you can click. You can download an app called the Bible app on your phone and go through a 21-day Bible reading plan. If you've never done it before, maybe you want to do a proverb, a psalm, and a chapter in the book of John or something like that. That's what you could do for the next 21 days. However you do it, be reading the Bible along with this thing. We also have on prayerandfeasting.com a Spotify worship set list. On that set list, it may not be your flavor of music, but at least it'll get you going. And what you can do is listen to this worship set list and be praying and worshiping in your car, on your commute, or maybe before you start your day. Amen, somebody? So what do? Do the 21 days of prayer and feasting. Don't gain weight, because I'm not going to be responsible for that, okay? But what I do want you to do is jump in both feet and pray. Amen, somebody? And here's my prayer for you over the next 21 days. The first thing I'm praying for you is that you'll have a new strength. Number one, a new strength. We drift. During the summer in life and seasons, we drift in our relationship with God. We drift with what we go through. And what happens is we begin to rely on our own strength. And I'm here to tell you, church, our strength is just not enough. It never will be. You need something supernatural in your life. And Isaiah said it in Isaiah chapter 40. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow weary and tired, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. My prayer for you is that a strength will begin to rise up in your heart. And this might be your prayer. Lord, I give up. Like, my strength isn't good enough. What I got going isn't all that. God, you're all that. Homeboy doesn't have it going on. You have it going on. Lord, I give up. Second thing that I'm praying for you in the season is that God would give you a new identity. It's so easy to find our identity in everything else, in our job, in our family. I'm an Italian, okay? I have like boiling red blood going through my veins. I am a bull. I am, okay? Can't find my identity in that. Have to, oop, break. I like pasta. I like, you know, old cheese, and I like really hard salami. But that's not my identity. You know what I'm saying? In fact, can I just say something by the Spirit of God? When I hear pastors talk about their people, and they're not talking about Christians, but they're talking about their race, that person doesn't have any clue what their identity is in Christ. Does that make sense to you? There's neither male nor female, Gentile nor Greek in Christianity. When you accept Christ, we are your people. Make sense to you? Sorry to go kind of hard on that thing, but our people are in this room. Our people are worshiping all around the world right now. There is one race, the human race. Amen, somebody? I don't know why I'm so strong on that, but just a prayer that you might pray is Lord, change me. Change me from viewing my identity within my race, from viewing my identity within my nationality. Oh, I'm Italian. From viewing your identity in your job or your activities or what your kids do, find your identity. And God, Isaiah 43, forget the former things. Forget it. Don't dwell in the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Don't you perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert, in streams, in the wasteland. God is giving you a new identity. Third thing that I'm praying for you is that you would find a new joy. A new joy with your walk with God, with your mornings, with your work life, that you would find a new joy. And I get it. Some of you guys are old Christians. You've been around the block and you think, man, I know everything that you're saying. I understand what you're saying, but can I just encourage you, just when you think you've arrived, God has another level for you. God has a new joy, a new experience, a new level for you to take. Isaiah 55, for you should go out with joy and be led with peace. Psalm 16, verse 11, you have made known to me the path of life, and you will fill me with joy in your presence. When you encounter God, guys, this month, that's where you're going to find joy. It's in his presence. And no matter who you are, where you are, maybe you've never encountered the love, the power, the joy of God, this is your month to encounter God. And for the next 21 days, maybe you should pray, Lord, fill me up again. Yeah. Yeah, like God, I'm not there. Like God, I haven't arrived. And this can't be it. So Lord, I've been full before, but God, fill me up again. I know you're not through with me. I know you have another level. I don't know what it is. Lord, fill me up again. Fill me up like you did that one time. And maybe remember some of the encounters that you've had with God. Some of us get so stale in going through the motions, and you get into the practice and you're faithful for sure. You serve and you read your Bible and you pray, but you've lost the presence of God. The most important thing is that God would fill you up, that you'd be filled again with his presence. Church, we need an encounter. We need to encounter God on a daily basis. This is what happened when the apostles encountered God. Acts 4, verse 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived that they were from the country, they were from Nuevo. They were uneducated, untrained men. They marveled because they realized they'd been with Jesus. Wow. It's not our arguments. It's our joy. It's not our apologetic. It's our peace. I know the research. I've seen it. I could not only scripturally, but scientifically and archaeologically prove to you the resurrection happened as it said it did in scripture. I can prove to you as fact. I can go through all of the different arguments, all the different proofs, and there's stacks of it. But if you don't have an experience, an encounter, a relationship with God, oh Lord, have we not prophesied your name? Have we not cast out devils in your name? And what is he going to say? I don't even know you. It's not the proof. That's awesome. I know the proof. You need to renew your mind, but it's encountering God. It's having a relationship with God, not your ritual, not your religion, not your stained glass that brings you comfort at Christmas time. None of that's in heaven. It's through relationship. That's where you have joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's where you have a peace that passes all understanding, that guards your heart and your mind. That's where you go through this life. When people leave an encounter with you, they're like, I perceive that they know Jesus. That guy knows God. I don't know about that church that he goes to. I don't know about that stuff. I don't understand it. But if I go through something, that's who I'm calling up to pray for me. The dude who knows Jesus. Does that make sense to you? Because you can argue with me all the apologetic and all the proof. But for Joe Bevilacqua, you can't argue me out of my relationship with God. I know him. I've encountered him. I've had moments where heaven and earth have collided in my heart. I know God. And that's my prayer for you, is that you'd get closer to him in this fall season through the next 21 days than you've ever been close to him before in your entire life. That's the prayer. Amen, somebody? Father, we thank you for what you're doing in our hearts today. Lord, we thank you for your spirit moving through this place. God, I thank you that if there's a person in here who's unsure about their relationship with you, that they don't know whether or not they're right with you, that, Father, they haven't encountered you in a real way, that you'd help me to find them. In Jesus' name. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Just want to talk to your heart for a sec. The thing that changed my life was a relationship with Jesus. What didn't change my life was some talking head on a stage, somebody preaching at me, somebody telling me that I was going to hell, asking me if I've ever had a lustful thought before. I knew all of that. I knew it all for fact. In fact, if you were to ask me before I knew Jesus, are you going to heaven or hell? I could have just told you, I'm going to hell. And it was no big deal to me. I had some sort of strange resolve that it's okay, I'm going to hell. Maybe you're in this place and you're having this moment where whatever is poking your heart and pulling you. Can I just tell you that that whatever isn't a whatever, it's a person. It's God drawing you to himself. If you accept Jesus Christ as the Lord over your life, the Bible says that he'll make all things new in your heart. He'll make all things new. He takes your dead spirit, that part of you that is dead, and he brings it back to life. You'll have a resurrection in your heart today. And when he does that, it guarantees you an eternal life in heaven, but he also begins to work on your life today. He has blessings, a call, a purpose for your life today. But the big catch on all of this is you got to accept it. And can I just say, some of you guys are still thinking of this mentally as an argument, and you're like, I accept it, and you accept it mentally. Like, how about this? You agree that what I'm saying is true. You agree that what I'm saying is right. And that is in contrast to you then having action, giving your life over to Christ. That is what makes you born again. That's what makes you new. Not just knowing that this is true, but having an encounter and a relationship with Jesus Christ. To start that, it's as simple as saying a prayer. Church, I want to say this prayer loud and proud. Everyone say this with me. Father, in Jesus' name, I come before you today in search of a new way. You said in your word, if I would call Jesus Lord, I would be saved. Jesus, I now call you Lord. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for washing me clean. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for these people that came in here today, that they connected with you. God, we thank you for the salvations that you've done in this room, miracles that you've done in people's hearts. Lord, I thank you that you do surround them with other believers, get them plugged into a small group, and help them know that nothing will be the same in Jesus' name. Church, let's give it up for those people that accepted Christ in here. Proud of you. Awesome. Well, we're going to transition our service right now into the generosity portion. If you came ready to worship God with your giving, you can get that ready right now. And there are several ways that you can give at New Chapel. First way is very obvious. We pass buckets. If you're new to church, you've never seen that before, it's not like the receptacle to put your gum in. Some of you do that, and we just need to correct that a little bit. And I did that when I was a kid. When that bucket goes by, it's just Christians opportunity to worship God with their giving. And they do it with their tithes, and that's 10% of their income. They do it with offerings, and that's when they feel compelled over and above, when the Spirit leads, to give into the kingdom. I want to read a scripture for you. It's found in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Remember this: a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much you will give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. That's the heart in here. So whether you give in service when buckets go by, or you download the mobile app, you do the text to give thing, all of my people from Easttown, the trendy people with man buns, they text to give. That's what trendy people do. And obviously online giving at newchapel.com/give, what we've encouraged so many to do, and so many of you guys have followed God in this, and that is automating your giving online. It's very cool. Awesome to put that first in your life and just automate what's important in your heart. However you give today, here's my encouragement. Ask Jesus. Is that cool? Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray, and then the band's going to lead us in a song. For the first part of the song, you're going to be seated, and Pastor Kobe will tell you when to stand up. But I want to pray over this, because giving today is an act of worship. Amen, somebody? Amen. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to sow into your kingdom. Lord, we don't give because we have to. We give because we love you. Lord, we thank you that you're moving in our lives, moving in our hearts. And Father, as we give today, we give it to you personally. Receive it in heaven, in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Father.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information, visit newchapel.com.